Welcome to Church 213. We appreciate you listening to God's Word. Pray its power would bring a miracle in your life today.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. I'm so glad to be with you, and it's good to just be with family. You know, I was here last week, but I was still kind of bumping into walls because of that long flight back from Africa. But I'm kind of settled back in again, and it's good to see y'all. I missed you when I was away, and happy to be here. Have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read from God's Word just in a moment, Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll be reading verse 16. Looking forward to what God has to say to us today. And I just invite us all to tune in to God's Spirit. Make a decision now to be open to that which God is saying to you today. Because when we find ourselves in that position, God is going to be speaking because He's always at work around us. And when we're listening, when we're paying attention, God just might speak to us. So I encourage y'all to say, God, I'm open to you, that which you would say to me today. If you're able, I invite you to stand in honor of God's word as we read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. You see, it's not a long verse, but powerful nonetheless. In fact, I'm gonna start with 15. It's not up there, but you can listen. Pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that we have the opportunities that you give us. You place those opportunities there in front of us, and I pray that you'll help us each to be sensitive to that which you're speaking to our hearts, that which you're saying to each of us. That we might have the courage, the intestinal fortitude, the faith, the confidence to trust in you and that which you're saying to us. With that in mind, God, I pray that you'll help us each to expect a miracle today. We've seen so many miracles in our lives. We've been so blessed. And I thank you for the one that is just right there that you've placed in our path. If we'll seize that moment, that opportunity. We pray that you'll help us to do that today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had the opportunity to do something I hadn't done in a while yesterday, and that was bowling. We went bowling with our grandchildren, and it was fun. And I did something, though, I'd never done before on the bowling alley, and I was reminded of it when I got up from kneeling to pray. I really prefer to do that, but each day as I progress in age, you notice how I said that so carefully, each day as I progress in age, I find it more difficult to get up without pushing with my hand, you know, and yesterday when I was bowling, I was doing pretty good. I was pretty pleased, had a pretty good game going, and I was coming up there, and something happened about right here, and my foot got stuck, and then I went over the line. You know, you're not supposed to go over the line, but did you know on the other side of that line, it's really slick, and so when my foot went over the line, I'm like, woo! I was down. I was out. And my son-in-law came running. I'm fine. But I was glowing red. And then, you know, it was a good day. We had great time with the family. And then I finally started getting kind of warmed up on the bowling alley. And I said to my son-in-law, I said, man, I'm getting hot. Just about that time they made this announcement, everybody's going to have to evacuate the bowling alley because it's on fire. No kidding, 6 fire trucks showed up, and we never saw any flames, but we had to leave. It was a good day. But that was all for free, y'all. A number of years ago, in a resort area along the east coast of the United States, a small community was having an open town meeting because this particular community, though it was a resort area and people came there, they were having some financial issues. So they wanted to have a meeting to figure out what they could do to address those financial issues. And the time of the meeting was set, and people began to show up, and about 24 folks showed up, and everybody knew everybody, almost. Seems there was one man there that nobody seemed to know. People assumed, well, this guy's just a tourist, and he decided to stop in on the meeting. And the meeting began, and things were beginning to happen, and people were making their suggestions, voicing their opinions, that things they might do to increase their income so they could thrive as a community. And then this guy, who no one knew, all of a sudden, he started voicing an opinion. And the people are like, who does this guy think he is? He doesn't know what's going on here. And so they just flat interrupted him, cut him off altogether. Now, he didn't say a word the rest of the time he was there, but ultimately, he got up and left early. And as he was going out, there was another townsperson who was coming in a little bit late. You know, there's always that guy. And that guy was coming in late, and he noticed the gentleman leaving, and he was like, what's he doing here? Maybe he's here to help us. And the guy went on his way, and the latecomer came in. He said, wow, why was he here? What's this guy doing here? And the guy said, what are y'all talking about? Somebody left. We don't know who he was. In fact, he tried to talk, and we cut him off. We didn't want to hear his opinion. Don't you know who that was? No, I'm supposed to know who this is? That was John D. Rockefeller. He could have been here to help us, and you guys were rude to him? Oh, my friends, that was a missed opportunity. Have you ever wanted to kick yourself in the seat of the pants because you missed a golden opportunity? Yeah. See, somebody's honest. Most of us can relate to that sort of thing. Well, here's what I want you to understand. God gives us opportunities. Day after day, He places opportunities in our paths. And if we'll respond to those opportunities that God places in front of us, we just might begin the adventure of our lives and begin to discover purpose like we've never imagined we could experience. You see, the life God has for you is so much bigger than anything you could ever even imagine. On your own, God has great purpose for you. And now I'm not talking about getting rich. You know, anybody in the right set of circumstances with the right response can make some money. I'm talking about something far bigger than getting rich. I'm talking about those opportunities, those moments that God makes available to you that you might embark upon a great kingdom adventure that God has for you. You and I will have those moments. And invested in those moments may very well be some moments that become defining moments in your life. However mundane a moment may appear, God may be there just waiting for you to respond. You rarely know up front the eternal significance of the very next moment that God has for you. You know, often I think people dream about moments that may come sometime in the future or maybe moments that they've had in the past that they missed. But the moment you need to be responsible for is the moment right in front of you. This very well could be your moment. I have over the years met so many people who'll say something to the effect of, you know, Pastor Stan, I remember a time when if I had responded differently, it would have changed my life forever. You know, when statements like that are made, it's kind of heart-wrenching because they're almost always made in the context of regret of some form. If I had only done differently. And how many of us have spent time reflecting on moments lost, opportunities overlooked, chances not taken? But consider what could happen if you could take a moment, and seize, grab hold of that moment and squeeze out of that moment all of the life available within. Got that moment? Imagining that moment? Now, if you imagine that moment, shouldn't that moment be somewhere in the future, like within the next 20 minutes or beyond? Somewhere in the future instead of somewhere back in the past? Perhaps it's time to stop regretting the past and seize the moments God is placing right in front of you to go forward. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is in Exodus 14, 15. The people of Israel are on the bank of the Red Sea, and they're kind of trapped between the Egyptian army and the mountains and the sea, and they're like, we're doomed. And God speaks to Moses, and he says, why are you crying out to me in the wilderness? Tell the sons of God to go forward. I believe the message is that God has something as we go forward with him in that moment that will change our lives. You and I have those moments. We have them on a regular basis. Sometimes we notice, sometimes we don't. But our decisions about those moments have incredible power. They have power for good and power for missed opportunities. What if you knew that somewhere in the moment right in front of you was a moment that would change your life forever? It was a moment with incredible potential, a moment filled with endless possibilities. What if you knew that moment was coming, a divine moment, a moment where God would meet you in such a way that nothing would ever be the same again? How would you treat that moment? Watch now. The potential of the moment is unlocked by the choices we make. God gives us those moments. How we respond makes all the difference. And I want you to understand something. We tend to categorize our lives. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I had the pie chart up there for you. And we tend to categorize our lives. We got the work life, we got the play life, we got the God life. You know, it's typically smaller. And we got those categorizations, and we tend to do that. But I want you to understand something. Please hear me well. Every single decision you and I make, every single decision is a spiritual activity. Any decision we make, because of the power of the divine moment God has placed there. You see, God gives us opportunities to choose. And we choose his way, or we choose our way, or some other way. But the choice is ours. He's not going to force you to go any direction. He lets us choose. But the power in that moment, it's an incredible expression of God's love for you. The fact that God allows us to choose, the fact that he doesn't force us into doing the right thing, the fact that he gives us that choice, that displays his love. You see, he didn't create us to be a bunch of puppets. God gives us freedom to make those choices. Sometimes we make good choices, sometimes not so much. But God loves us so much, he doesn't force us. He allows us to choose those moments. But the thing many of us fail to recognize is this, and I want you to get this. In all of those choices, no matter how mundane they may seem, in all of those choices, we are responsible for the choices we make. We are responsible. If, for instance, a person makes a choice in a moment to live outside of God's will, outside of God's purposes, that person is responsible for that choice. And when anybody who is, especially a Christ follower, anybody makes a choice in that moment to choose other than that which we believe to be God's will, what we do is we step out from under God's umbrella of protection. Now I want to ask you, when that happens, who moved? God didn't move. We moved by the choices we make. Therefore, when something happens and we don't sense God's protection because it's still over here where it ought to be, But we moved outside of God's protection and we blame God. That's bogus. It's not God's fault. God's not the one who moved. But we always want to blame God even though we're the ones who made the choices. How is that right? Of course, we know it's not right. But isn't that our natural tendency? God, why'd you do this to me? And we blame him. People hold it against God, and we're the ones who moved. We're the ones who make the choices. And we're responsible for those choices. While moments are in the context in which we live, choices that we make chart our course in life. And those choices determine our destinations. In other words, where your life ends up is a compilation of the choices you make. Can't blame anybody else. Compilation of the choices you make. In each choice you and I make, there are opportunities. There are moments provided for us by Almighty God Himself. Now, those opportunities are choices that we get to make. And they come to us in the everyday moments of life. And in those moments, we make choices. And in those choices, God has wrapped up in that moment, that choice, the opportunity for a kingdom adventure that will impact your life far beyond that moment. So we want to be sensitive to those moments, those choices that we're making. Because in each choice is the opportunity for a divine moment that can change His story. That's with two S's. H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. His story. His story. History. You see? You see where I'm going with that? History is His story. And they come to us in the moments of life. Too often, as those opportunities present themselves or are presented by God, those moments are wasted. Because too often we make choices based on circumstances rather than stopping and seeking God in that choice, in that moment. It doesn't mean we have to be walking along the road and we got a choice, we're going to go right or left. We have to fall on our knees and fall on our faces. Hey, God, what am I going to do now? Just ask Him, what's your will right here, God? You see, here's the thing. God, if you're a Christ follower, God is leading you. You don't have to pray for God to give you direction. He's already promised that. What you want to pray for is that you'll have the courage to follow where He leads, even if it goes against your plans. There's the rub. God's leading us, but what are we doing with our choices? That's up to us. And when we choose God, we respond to His will. Here's the thing that I think this might be the thing that trips some folks up. If we're going to respond to God's will, His direction, His leadership, we have to do that by faith. Too often those opportunities, those moments are wasted. And we say, God, where are you? I'm right here, waiting for you to choose me. I want to give you two ways I think people waste opportunities from God. The first way people waste opportunities is that they fail to respond to a gospel presentation. You know, when any person comes under, God's Spirit is here today, y'all. When any person comes under the teaching of the Word of God, that person is presented with an opportunity to experience a divine moment. And those opportunities, they're not just happenstance. God has purpose for all of your moments. You see, God is constantly calling people, issuing calls in our lives and in our situation. He's calling people, Christian and even non-Christian alike, to get past religion and move to a relationship. God is calling people into that which is the very cure for the sickness of sin. That sin sickness is always affiliated with choices. And when we make a choice that is outside of the will of God, we open ourselves up to that sickness. It's about like I'm going to walk into the infection zone. And then we wonder why life is so hard. It's about the choices we make. Look, if I'm an alcoholic, I'm not going to be hanging out at the bar, okay? There are choices we make that impact our lives, not to mention the lives of others. And those choices are found in the moments of life. Some of you here today, you have, you are, or you will experience the call of God. Maybe today. And here's the thing. When God calls, what is taking place is God is presenting you with a divine moment. An opportunity to step out of mundane and to step in to the adventure of purpose God has for you. Oh, folks, if we reject that call, what that is, it's a missed opportunity. And ultimately, that missed opportunity we've chosen against God, that's sin. And rest assured, if God's calling you, there's a reason he's calling you. There's some area of your life in which God is about to move if you'll properly respond. This is your moment. Perhaps there's some sin in your life that God is addressing. This is your moment. And folks, if this is your case, God is not addressing that sin to condemn you or to judge you. He's addressing that sin to keep you from condemnation, to keep you from judgment, because Jesus has already taken care of that judgment on the cross. God's not addressing that sin to make you feel bad. He's addressing that sin to make you feel whole, complete, filled with purpose. He's addressing that sin because he wants to deliver you from that which is holding you captive. There are far too many captives in the world today, even in the church, especially when the one who holds the key to freedom is calling you out of captivity. He has the key. He's the great door opener. And he is waiting for you to receive this gift, the freedom, which he is offering in that moment. He is Jesus. And this is your moment. The problem, though, most people, we don't think of ourselves as sinners. That's not good thinking. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who does that leave out? We're all sinners, but we don't think of ourselves that way. We got this line of thinking that goes something like this. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm a pretty good person. Certainly not as bad as some. And you know what? That's probably absolutely true. But here's the thing. I want you to get this because there's literally no way around this. Being a pretty good person will never get anyone to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now, those words, I am, you go back there and you translate those in the Greek and go way back into Genesis and you translate those words in the Hebrew, I am. Same words. I am, Jesus is using, is the same I am that God used to describe himself to Moses. Jesus is saying, yes, I am the Father. The Father and I are one. And Jesus said, I am the way. But here's the thing. Satan is against you. He is. You know that. What he's going to try to do is he's going to try to convince you that, number one, you're a pretty good person and you don't need this stuff. Then he's also going to try to convince you that there is some religious way you can get to heaven. Now, please hear me very well. There is no religious way you can get to heaven. And when Satan tells you that, it is a lie, because Satan is a liar. He is against you, and he wants to bring you down in every possible way. Oh, folks, don't you understand? That's why Jesus told us over in John 10:10, a thief, and that thief is describing Satan, a thief comes only, watch, to steal and kill and destroy. And he's after you. He is. Jesus went on to say, he didn't stop there. He said, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. This is what Jesus is doing for you in that moment. God calls you because he is awaiting your response. He calls you because he's about to do something in your life that will lead you directly into a kingdom adventure for him. And when God calls you, he has placed that divine moment right there in your path. Now, here it is. It's right there in your path. This is that divine moment. It looks like a music stand, but for our purposes, it's a divine moment. There it is, and you're going this way. Too often what happens is we, even Christians, we are there and we go, oops. Stop it. Receive that divine moment that God has for you. That's why he's placed it there. He's awaiting your response. And he's placed that moment right in your pathway. I got to tell you, folks, you really don't want to miss that opportunity from God, because it's from God and it's going to be good. First reason people waste opportunities by failing to respond when the gospel is presented. The second reason is failing to pray as the Bible instructs us. One of the things we did in Zambia, and we used the material that some of our folks here presented when they did a prayer study. We taught a bush village about prayer. And it's very important that we understand this concept of prayer and how vital it is in our lives. But some folks fail to pray, as the Bible tells us. But God is very specific about the importance of prayer. And the first prayer a person needs to pray is the prayer making a decision to receive the Lord Jesus into his or her life. That's called salvation. The Bible tells us that we are to make the most out of every opportunity. Ephesians 5:16 tells us, we read it earlier, wisdom is making the most out of the time because the days are evil. And what that means is when those opportunities are presented in time, we are to respond properly because everything around us is evil. New International Version of that same passage says making the most of every opportunity. In other words, God is telling us to stop missing the opportunities. Stop missing the moments that he's placing right there in front of us. Yet there are so many, even folks in churches, who fail to take advantage of this wonderful gift of prayer that God gives to us. I mentioned this last week, but let me take it a little further. We were, you know, God was amazing in providing a way that we could provide the money, a substantial amount of money, to dig a well for a bush village, 800 people that had no water. It was so cool to see those people rejoicing. And we went in and we were able to provide that. And as we got out of our vehicle, we were walking up there and I was dragging, you know, kind of bringing up the rear, making sure everything's as it should be. And I said, hey, I'm Pastor Stan. And they jumped all over that. Now, we hadn't talked about water. We hadn't talked about wells. We hadn't done any of that. And there was a group of, I don't even know how many guys. I wish I'd have counted them. But 10, 12, I'm not sure. And they were standing there all together, and they were greeting us. And the first guy who was the one who was doing the talking, because he could kind of help us to get the Tonga into English and that sort of thing. And I shook his hand. I said, I'm Pastor Stan. You're the pastor? Yeah, I'm the pastor. We want to hear about Jesus. Now, what you need to understand is that we had been praying for that bush village. We had been praying that we would provide water for them. But not only that, that God would give us the opportunity to provide the water of life. And the first thing they did, they asked, we want to hear about Jesus. And you know what we did? We told them. And those men who are by far the leaders in the village, they all prayed to receive Jesus. right there, before there was any water coming up out of the ground. You see, when you go forth and you take those opportunities and you bathe those things in prayer, God gives you more than you ask for. You know, why do people, though, fail to pray? I got some possibilities. I think some fail to pray because they believe they're a Christian when they're really not. You know, there are many people who believe they're Christ followers based on unbiblical information. Well, you know, you go to church and you know, you do you're good, you got this scale and it's good and bad, and your good outweighs your bad, so you're a Christian. And let me tell you, that's unbiblical information. But a lot of people buy into that sort of thing. People think they're Christian based on unbiblical information. That means they're not. And because they have received this unbiblical information, they're just kind of floating along, and they don't pray for salvation for others. They don't pray for salvation for themselves. Let me just say, any information that leads a person to believe they can be Christian apart from a personal decision to enter into a personal relationship with God the Father through God the Son is receiving unbiblical information. That's the bad news. The good news, though, there's the cure. There's a cure for this problem. And Jesus is the cure. And he's available to you today by way of prayer. God tells us don't waste those opportunities. And that includes the opportunity, the moment he's going to give you to settle that issue of salvation once and for all. Oh, please don't think you're saved. The Bible says you can know. But when that moment comes, here's the thing. When that moment comes, it's 100% up to you what you do in that moment. Second reason. I think some fail to pray that others would be saved. They just don't do it. I think one of the greatest failures of the church is the failure to pray for the salvation of other people. You know, it's an incredible thing to see someone for whom you've been praying make that decision to pass from darkness to light, from lostness to salvation, from death to life, right there in that moment. Now, we pray for the sick, and we ought to do that. We pray for financial needs. We ought to do that. We pray for rain. Well, maybe not in Georgia because we've had our share, but we ought to do that. But in too many cases, Christian people fail to pray diligently for those who are lost. Oh, don't you see? You have acquaintances. You have friends. You even have family members who need to be saved. Yet how many fail to pray faithfully for their salvation? God tells us to make the most out of every opportunity, and that includes praying for the lost to be saved. I believe, though, there are possibly some reasons for people not praying for others to be saved. And I think one of the reasons that people fail to pray for others to be saved is we assume people are Christian. That's a very dangerous assumption. Billy Graham stated that he guessed that as many as 50% of people who attend churches on Sunday morning are not truly Christian. Now, that's Billy Graham's guess. You can do with that what you will. How often, though, do we look at people and we determine that because of the way they look, because of the way they act, because of their status in the community, because they seem to be nice people, that they're Christian? We make that assumption. The Bible, though, teaches that a person will be known by the fruit he or she bears. Matthew 7:16, you will recognize them by their fruit, the words of Jesus. Oh, folks, we miss opportunities when we assume a person is a Christian because he or she's in church or because they're good by community standards. Don't assume. Ask the question. What if they get mad at me if I ask them, I'm supposed to know that they're a Christian? How are you supposed to know? That's another one of those lies from Satan. Don't be afraid to ask. Just ask. You know, you might find out somebody's just right there ready to be saved, waiting for you to say, hey, you want to pray and get saved? Then you go to that day, that time when you stand before Jesus. He says, did you bring anybody with you? As a matter of fact, Jesus, I asked this person if he or she was saved, and they said no, and they got saved. Woo-hoo! Sometimes it's just asking. Don't assume that people aren't Christian. Ask the question, or are Christian, excuse me. The second reason people don't pray in this area, don't get mad at me. We don't really love those outside the church the way we should. Simple truth is that if we really love even those outside the church, how can we not pray for their salvation and then act on those prayers by telling them about Jesus? You know what I've noticed? That when somebody gets serious about praying for the salvation of another person, God may very well give that very person who's praying the opportunity to lead that person to Christ. He's so cool like that, isn't he? But are you diligently praying? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. What's his name? That person. He needs to be saved. Will you fix that? I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about on your face before God, this person is lost. And apart from Jesus intervening in his life and saving him, that person is on a one-way track to hell. And I can be a difference maker, God. I pray for his salvation. If we love them, how can we not tell them? You know, honestly, I believe most Christians do love others to an extent, as long as it doesn't take us out of our comfort zone. Africa is not my comfort zone, I promise you. I don't like spiders. And when I'm in Africa and I see spiders, they're not just spiders, they're African spiders. But I've been 15 times. God takes us out of our comfort zone. You know, here's what Jesus said. He made it clear that the greatest love is a love that is willing to lay down his life for a friend. Certainly, it's a love that has a willingness to pray that somebody will be saved. And then when God gives you that opportunity, act on that prayer, because within the person who's praying is the cure for sin and death. Colossians 4:5 tells us, act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Don't miss the opportunity to pray for the salvation of others and then share the gospel with them. There's a great opportunity waiting for you there. A great adventure. And then the third reason I think people fail to pray generally, I think some people fail to pray because they lack confidence in the power of prayer. This is none other, lacking confidence in the power of prayer is none other than a lack of faith. So ask yourself, do you really believe that prayer makes a difference? Really? Because if you really believe the power of prayer, wouldn't you be praying more often? And when people fail to take prayer seriously, what happens is they miss opportunities to impact the world for the cause of Christ. They also impact the opportunity and quite often fail to take that opportunity to experience the purpose God has for them and to live the great adventure God has for them. Let me tell you about Bob. Bob Hunter. There's an evangelist. His name is Doug Coe. Doug ministers to politicians and statesmen in Washington, D.C., and he tells about a prayer encounter he had, and it was involving a guy named Bob. Now, you got to understand, to minister effectively where Doug ministers, he has to be a man of prayer, amen? I mean, he's in D.C., so he's a man of prayer. He has to seize those moments that God places right in front of him. Well, along the way, Doug doing what Doug does, and he met a guy named Bob. And Bob, you need to understand, is not connected politically at all. Bob's an insurance guy. He's not connected politically at all. He's kind of apolitical. But he met Bob, and Doug met Bob, and Doug sees that moment, shared his faith, and Bob got saved. This insurance guy who's totally unconnected politically and with the government. But God, Bob got saved. Amen. And then Doug, what Doug did after he led him to Christ, Doug began to meet with Bob and disciple him in his newfound faith. Totally unpolitical faith, by the way. One day, Bob found a verse and he saved that verse for his meeting with Doug. And he said, Doug, I found this verse and it says, ask whatever you will in my name and you'll receive it. Doug, I'm so excited. Is that true? Doug responded, well, Bob, it's not a blank check. You have to take it in the context of the whole scripture. But yeah, it really is true. Jesus answers prayer. Great, Bob said. I'm going to start praying for something. Doug's excited for his new friend. And what you going to pray for, Bob? Bob thought for a minute. He said, you know what? I think I'm going to pray for Africa. Doug smiled at his friend's enthusiasm. You know, enthusiasm, it's Greek words coming together. It really means in God. That's what it means, in theos, in God. And he was excited about his friend's enthusiasm. And he said, well, Bob, I'm excited you're going to pray for Africa, but it's kind of a broad target, you know? It kind of does this whole thing. Why don't you at least narrow it down to one country? Bob thought for a minute, and he said, okay, I'm going to pray for Uganda. Well, Doug questioned him further. Doug, have you ever been to Uganda? No. Doug, do you know anybody? Or Bob, do you know anybody in Uganda? No, Doug, I don't. But I'm going to pray for Uganda. Well, Doug picked up on his friend's enthusiasm and he made the following very unusual arrangement. Doug challenged Bob to pray every day for 6 months for Uganda. And he said, Bob, if you'll do that and nothing extraordinary happens in Uganda, I'll pay you $500. But, Bob, if something remarkable does happen in Uganda, you pay me $500. They made a bet's what they did. I know it's unusual, but hey, Doug's an unusual guy. But if Bob didn't pray every day, the whole deal was off. Got to do it. So Bob began to pray for going on and on and on, and nothing happened. Then one night, Bob happened to be at a dinner. It was there in Washington, D.C., where he lived. But you know, Bob's an unpolitical guy. He's very uninvolved in the government. He just happened to get an invitation. They were sitting around this table, and everybody was asked to share who they are and kind of what they do, that sort of thing. You've been there before. You know that kind of thing. One woman, people were going through and telling their stuff, and one woman said, well, my name is, called her name, and said, I run an orphanage in Uganda. It's the largest orphanage in the entire country. Bob's thinking, $500 flying out of the way. But he simply couldn't be quiet. He'd been quiet up to that point, but now he roared to life. He pounded this woman relentlessly with question after question after question. Finally, she said, Mr. Bob, you're obviously very interested in my country. Overwhelmed by the sudden barrage of questions, she said, Bob, have you ever been to Uganda before? No. Maybe you know someone in Uganda, Bob? No. Finally, Bob admitted, look, here's the truth of it. Someone is paying me $500 to pray for Uganda. The woman was surprised, to say the least, but she said to Bob, well, Bob, if you're praying for my country so diligently, you must come and visit the country for which you're praying. Well, Bob wanted to leave right away. So they set it up, and he flew to Uganda. She met him there at the airport, and she took him to a tour of the orphanage where she was in charge. And Bob was just overwhelmed by the poverty and the lack of basic health care. After this, he returned back to D.C., but he couldn't get Uganda and that orphanage out of his mind. And remember, Bob's still praying daily for Uganda. And Bob became so concerned that he began to write letters to large pharmaceutical companies describing the need he had seen in Uganda. And he reminded those companies that each year they throw away large amounts of medical supplies that go unsold. And Bob just put the question out there, why not send those medical supplies to the orphanage in Uganda rather than throwing them away? Some did. A little while later, the woman from Uganda called Bob and told him about the amazing thing happening there in that orphanage because of Bob, who's totally unpolitical and ungovernmental, was praying and writing letters. And all of this was happening because of Bob. She said, "Bob, we're so overwhelmed with joy and we want to celebrate, so we're going to have a great celebration of the miracle that's taking place because of your prayers and because of your letters. Bob, if we pay your expenses, would you be willing to fly to Uganda and be our guest at the celebration?" Bob was on the plane as soon as he could get there. And he got there, and while at the celebration, Bob was just enjoying so much what God is doing, and he met a guy. And remember, Bob's totally unpolitical, ungovernmental. But Bob met a guy, and they got to talking, and then he found out that the guy he met and was becoming friends with was the president of Uganda. He was at that party because this is the largest orphanage in Uganda. While at the celebration, Bob and the president, they're hanging out. And they're becoming friends. And they became really good friends. In fact, they became such good friends that the president of Uganda asked Bob to go with him the next day on a tour of Nairobi, the capital city of Uganda. "Sure, Mr. Prez, I'll go." Now remember, this is Bob, who's very unpolitical and ungovernmental. But he's taking this tour of Nairobi with the president of Uganda. That's not nice. It's not right. No, always not the Kent, whatever the capital is of Uganda. While on the tour, they toured a prison. In that prison, Bob saw a group of prisoners and he asked about them. And the president of Uganda said, "Well, Bob, those are political prisoners." Bob got this look on his face and he said, "Mr. President, that's not a good idea. I think you ought to release those guys." Nothing more was said about that. They finished the tour, and Bob headed back home to America. A few weeks later, Bob received a phone call from the State Department of the United States of America. Now remember, this was Bob, not political. He'd never received a phone call like this before. He answered the phone and said, "Hello, is this Bob?" "Yes, Bob, this is the State Department of the United States of America." "Yeah." "Bob, were you recently in Uganda?" "Well, yes, sir." "Bob, while you were in Uganda, did you meet the president of Uganda?" "Yes, sir." Bob's getting a little nervous now. "What did you say to him, Bob?" "Well, I told the president while we were touring that prison that those political prisoners ought to be released." "Huh, that's interesting, Bob. As it happens, the United States State's Department has been trying to get those political prisoners released for some time, and the government of Uganda would not cooperate. Now it seems, Bob, because of you, the president of Uganda has ordered the release of those prisoners. The U.S. government has been trying and trying to get them released with no success. But now, Bob, they're released because of you, Bob. So, Bob, we here at the State Department of the United States of America are calling to say, thank you, Bob, for your assistance." Several months later, the president of Uganda made a phone call to Bob. He said, "Bob, I'm about to rearrange my government, and I'm going to build a new cabinet. Bob, would you be willing to fly over here to Uganda and pray for me for 3 days while I work on this very important task?" So Bob, not politically connected at all, boarded a plane once again for Uganda, flew there to pray for the president of Uganda, asking God to give wisdom to this leader as he selected his new government. All this happened because of one man. Bob got serious about prayer because he seized the moment God placed in front of him. And he changed Bob, his story. Ah, friends, God gives us opportunities. He provides moments. He tells us to make the most of every opportunity. In the power of that moment that God places in front of you is awaiting a life of purpose. A life filled with a kingdom adventure that God has for you. Bob would have never experienced that great adventure in Uganda had he not placed his faith in the power of prayer. Now, I'm not going to offer you $500 to pray today. But I am going to place this opportunity in front of you. This opportunity to trust God in the moment. There are decisions that need to be made. Some of those decisions that need to be made are to be made by those who are already Christian. Some of you who are Christian, you know you've not been praying the way you ought. You know you've not been trusting God in the moment. You know you've walked around that music stand rather than walking into it. And today, God is calling you to step into the moment. It's up to you what you do in that moment. But others of you, you may be those folks we talked about earlier that think you're Christian because of some unbiblical information. And now you've discovered that the only way to be a Christian is by what the Bible tells us to do. And that's we make a personal decision, surrendering ourselves to Jesus, inviting him as we repent of our sin and surrender to him. We sang the song earlier. And today God's calling you to be saved. You don't get saved by going to church. You don't get saved by being raised by a good family. You don't get saved by being a good person based on that scale and your good outweighs your bad. A person is saved only when he or she makes a decision inviting Jesus as Lord and Savior of his or her life. Today God is calling some of you to salvation. This is your moment.